You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Chris Spangle Show. Thanks again for joining me. If you're listening to this program, I'm terrible with names. I asked our guest that has been training me for about a year, what's your last name again? So I am actually in his gym at his house in the basement. He's a professional trainer, Sean Murphy. I met him through the Y. We've become good friends over the last year. He's been training me. Believe me, this physique is not his fault. It is steak and lemonade and chick. But what I want to do, I mentioned a few months ago that we're going to be a little more personal. And me being more personal means I still want there to be a goal for you when you're listening. And as I hit 40 and I have a five-month-old actually, he's 5 months now. Obviously, that adds new pressure to getting my fitness routine and my physical life more in shape. And I've worked on it the entire 10 years I've been doing this podcast. You've heard a little bit about that. I've been stuck in the 260s I lost 10 pounds, Sean. I was 330. And then in 2012, I saw a photo of myself at Rupert's election night party. And I went, I need to do something. And then shortly after that, after not doing much, I was getting divorced. And I was like moving all the food from my apartment with her into my own apartment. Mm. And I was like, microwavable cheeseburgers, microwavable burritos, microwavable this. I was like, I need to start doing something, especially since I'm going to eventually want to date. I think I was probably 310 at that point and started doing my Fitness Pal and tracking. Mm-hmm. And I was eating 5,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It's easy to do.
I know. If you've never tracked before and you track like just one day and you're like, I'm eating 2,500 calories more than I need to.
Yeah. And so I have stalled a little bit and I need some motivation, and that is public humiliation if I don't do it, which is part of the reason I want to do this. Part of the reason is also to promote Sean and his online training and to give you, the listeners, some benefit so you can work along too. I know most of you are in the 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s. You're probably dads. You're probably not finding time to work out. You need to make it a priority. So I want to have those conversations with somebody so you can listen in and then work on it yourself too. We're going to put together in the show notes, I need to talk to you, but maybe it's a Facebook group or maybe it's some other software or something, so you can work alongside of us so you can be held accountable too. Look for that in the description of the podcast, the link to something. I know we have one Facebook group set up, but there'll be something specific for that. So that's the reason. I know this is mostly usually a political podcast where we talk about stuff, but politics, it's like we're talking current events and culture and all that. And I think it is incredibly important to have a strong physical health. And I've noticed as I've hit 40, that seriously start to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. I know you train a lot of older clients. How old are you?
25.
All right. So you have no problems. You're physically perfect and it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just gets harder the older you get.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I know, especially in some of these, we'll talk about all the benefits of weight training, but some of them you don't really think about, you don't see. I was talking with a client he's 63. One of the benefits is like increased bone density. So
yeah,
for older people, falls, you risk breaking bones pretty easily. That's not something that gets you out of bed. Why you want to go to the gym to make my bones dense?
Right.
Just one of the added benefits. So there's a lot of stuff like that as you age that decline. A good way to like combat that, those through weight training. Yep.
Yeah. So I was never really into the gym at all. I was losing weight because I was changing my diet, cutting out soda, eating less sugar, eating out less. And then I saw Mark Sisson on Rogan talk about this. And he talks a little bit about why people die early. And it's basically they don't have the cardio and the bone density. And I'll actually splice that clip in now so you can check that out here in the audio and video.
that's the, again, the nature of the human body is to preserve itself, to pass the genetic material along to the next generation. Part of that preservation is I don't want to waste precious resources building something that I won't need.
Right.
So in a lot of people, how that manifests itself is if you don't lift weights, you don't have any muscle. So you have this lack of muscle, this lack of muscle mass. And, you know, you say, well, what's wrong with that? I'm skinny. Well, you know, you could be skinny, but you could be what we call skinny fat. No muscle. You got a little bit of excess fat. You might be more prone to getting type 2 diabetes. But almost more importantly, if you don't train, and as you get older, it becomes more and more important to maintain muscle mass. People don't die of old age. They die of organ failure because they just, you know, something wasn't keeping up with the body. But the concept of dying of, quote, old age is kind of ridiculous when you think about it. So the typical old age scenario is you got a 75, 85-year-old man or woman, hasn't done anything active for years, so there's no muscle mass. And because there's no muscle mass and they haven't done anything active, the bones, there's no bone density. So the bones go, hey, I don't need to build a structure because this clown isn't going to the gym and doing anything to require it. So I'm going to save resources, not build bone density. The muscles are not building bone mass. Now the heart's going, hey, this is easy. I can pump blood all day at 5% of my volume, or maybe 15% of my volume. The lungs go, hey, there's no requirement for excess oxygen. This clown's just sitting around in a chair all day, or you know, watching TV or doing minimal activity. So the lungs, they sort of cease to function at full capacity. Same with the liver. Same with the kidneys. And as you go down this path, then one night you get up to take a leak and you trip over the cat and you fall and you break your hip because the bone density sucks. And now you wind up in the hospital and you get pneumonia and you die because the lungs can't expel the sputum for the pneumonia and the heart can't keep up. So maybe you die of congestive heart failure. I mean, this is a very typical scenario for a lot of people. And it all goes back to creating a need for the body to want to change.
So I know you didn't hear it, but it obviously speaks to your point. The goal here for this episode and in general is I obviously don't know much because I'm overweight. And it's mostly just in my belly, right? And I want someone, the audience and Sean, to keep me accountable. So we're going to basically have conversations about diet, about exercise routines, about benefits, about trade-offs, how to navigate this. Every month, we're going to have a conversation with Sean, and today's goal basically is just for you to get to know Sean, and then at the end, we'll talk a little bit about what we're going to work on next, but tell us your story. So you're 25, you're a personal trainer. Like, where'd you grow up? How'd you get into fitness?
Yeah, so 25, I've been a certified personal trainer now for 3 years. I've been working out 8-9 years, somewhere in there. So I grew up right here in Indy, on the east side of Indianapolis, where we are now. And yeah, I was an overweight kid, struggling with like body image and confidence, all that you're going through when you're 15, 16 years old. So I weighed like 220 pounds, never worked out or anything.
And you were like what, 5'10"?
No, like 5'6", maybe.
All right, that's pretty, yeah. Like at what age were you when you were chubby?
My whole childhood growing up.
Really?
Yeah, I was a chubbier kid. When you get into high school, like you talked about, like getting back into dating, when you get into high school, the girls come into play. So I was like, I need to get in shape. So I started.
I think that's why so many guys like just let themselves go when they get married, because it's like women dating is a main motivator for most people to get in shape, I think.
Yeah, you're set now once you're married. So women is a good motivator. So yeah, I lost 60 pounds when I was like 16 years old.
You did 4 push-ups. That's what it takes when you're 16.
It's pretty easy. But yeah, I didn't know what I was doing back then either. So unhealthy like way of losing 60 pounds, but I did it. And then started educating myself through like YouTube, working out, talking to people on the right way to build muscle, lose fat, all that kind of stuff. So that's how I initially got into fitness and working out.
Did you play any sports or anything?
I was an athlete growing up. So I played really everything. Baseball was my big one. And that's something I played through high school. Nothing in college, but was an athlete growing up.
I wish there was like adult gym class, because I think back now and I'm like, man, those 2 days for football, or if it weren't creepy, I would call a local high school football coach and be like, can I just train with the guys? Because like,
the nothing weird.
The smell of the grass, the hitting each other, like at 40, you wish you could go back in time and have that kind of like workout where they're forcing you to run, they're forcing you to do this and that. But yeah, no, not calling any high schools asking if I can exercise with the teenagers. But yeah, like that discipline I think is great.
Yeah. For sure. And I think that's why the freshman 15, once you move to college, like, your activity level just drops a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're drinking, you're eating whatever you want. Nobody's telling you can't go to Walmart at midnight to get fruit roll-ups. Yeah.
Yeah. Once I got into that, I went to college at IUPUI and I actually studied business. So nothing to do. People are always like, you study exercise science or something like that, but studied accounting and finance. I got to my junior year and I was like, I don't want to sit in a cubicle the rest of my life. The one thing I've really loved and been passionate about was fitness. Went on, I worked for the Y and I still work for the Y part-time as a personal trainer. And then I was actually full-time with the Y running their wellness department for a little bit. I really enjoyed it, got good experience, but wanted to do my own things. About a year ago, stepped back from that and started my own online coaching and personal training business.
Very cool. We met through the Y. You've been training. I want you to give a brutal, honest assessment of what I'm like as a client.
I will say, the one thing, and there's two things that are really key. If I had to say the two, I'd say most important things in terms of fitness, consistency is one, and then intensity is two. I'd say they're 1A and 1B. Mm-hmm. Chris trains very hard, which not all my clients do. Right. So I would give, he does that, like right. for sure. And then the consistency side is the part that's we're working on.
Yeah. So you see, this is why he's so nice. He's not like most personal trainers. I literally had a conversation with a friend where I was like, if you don't go in there and sign up for this gym, you're going to die. I don't have your bedside manner. No, it's definitely consistency for me. I mean, I like working out when I work out. It's a time management thing as much as it is a will thing. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, you deal with people's psychology probably as much as anything else, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I always tell people, like, I don't think I realize it, but I think I go to the gym as much for the mental side of it than the physical. It's just a place to get away. Whatever you're dealing with, you don't have to think about for whatever, 45 minutes or so. And then you feel good the rest of your day too. I think there's definitely something to that. And I just had a client text me too, like last week. They said something about thanking me for being their therapist. So I get a lot of that. You get to know someone, like you said, we've known each other just a year, but we really got to know each other over.
How many people do, like, I just don't know how many people, like, listener, do you go out and see a person once a week? Like, I don't know that people even see their friends that much. Yeah. I think after you get out of college, like, you're in the age bracket of, I think, the loneliest period of anybody's life. Like, you've had this fun college experience. You went to IUPUI like I did, so you didn't have a fun college experience. You were a grown-up.
True.
Not like these kids that went to IU or Purdue, and they just get to screw around for 4 years. You have all these friends, and then you go and get a job, and you see those people every day, but then it gets harder increasingly to see your friends or your family. So you're not seeing them every week.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to church, you're not really seeing anybody on a weekly basis. So I would imagine, yeah, personal trainer, like, you end up having deeper conversations than most people.
Yeah, and we did once a week for 30 minutes when we would train. I have a client, he does 3 times a week for an hour. So you think about 6 times what the time we were spending together. I've never really thought about it like that in terms of like how, but you're right. I spend more time with people than probably in their top 5 in terms of the easily people they spend the most time with throughout the week. So
yeah,
it's a cool way to develop relationships. And that's why I use I'm not the one more rep, like yelling at my clients. Like a lot of it is self-motivation. Like they're motivated. I'm there for the accountability, but to sign up and to pay for a personal trainer, first of all, is not cheap and it takes effort to do that. So in my head, they're motivated on their own. I'm there for the accountability purpose and then to be there just to go through the whole journey with them.
Yeah. So I had a personal trainer once I realized 2017, 2018, I had a little bit of extra money. I was going to LA Fitness sporadically. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so I hired a personal trainer, Alex Baird, who was a great personal trainer who, like, over a year taught me form and taught me how to do things. And then I was able to carry that on after he left. And I remember what it felt like. Mm-hmm. I remember what good form, muscle burn, like having a personal trainer makes you go, oh, okay, this like 12 minutes that I just lifted weights, I don't really feel sore the next day.
Yeah.
There, it's, I can't get off the toilet sore, right? So I knew what it was like having a personal trainer, and I knew that I was going to Orange Theory sporadically, which I still do, which is like an hour-long cardio weightlifting thing. If you're not, if you're like me where you just, I just want to take the thought work out of it. I want to walk into a place, have them tell me what to do, and then walk out. That's the benefit of an Orange Theory, an F45, a CrossFit gym, mm-hmm. a personal trainer, right? But I got to a point where I knew I needed to get back into the gym in addition, and I needed somebody to restart that mm-hmm. process. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you were able to help me do, is get comfortable in the new gym that I'm in, because I moved.
Yeah.
And so you go to the LA Fitness, you're comfortable with it, and then you come to the Y downtown, and you're like, this doesn't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think having a personal trainer for a period of time helped me get comfortable. So there's all these different psychological reasons. What are some other reasons that people hire a personal trainer?
I think we've hit on a few of the big ones. I think that thing about not having to think is huge. I think, like you said, people like just coming into the gym and knowing exactly like what they're going to do. The taking the thought out of it from a personal trainer, that's a huge part of it. I think being lost in the gym, like you said, but more so lost in terms of not having a purpose or a goal, not even knowing what that goal is. I have some clients who even like that, you know, it's good and healthy to go to the gym, so you go and then you get there and you don't know what to do.
They do what I do when I'm not with you, which is I walk in, I do 10 minutes on the treadmill, I get bored.
Yeah.
And then I go lift weights now, and then I'm like, it was a good workout. And I look down, it was 13 minutes since I've been there 23 minutes.
Exactly.
Because there's no plan to it.
Yeah. And I think another one that I deal less of with is rehabilitation or specific injuries. Like that happens quite a bit. It's not the most like fun and glamorous, but, and then you touched on it, the form. So it's really fun to have, like with you, you had a trainer before me who really laid the foundation, and you, then I was able to just really focus on like pushing you.
Yeah.
That's really fun. It's fun to teach form like from the ground up as well. So a lot of people will get trainers because they don't know what good form looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you also do online training. And so if you're not here in Indianapolis, you can still hire Sean to do training for you. Online training came along over the last, really like the pandemic, it feels like it like ratcheted up. But what personal training is self-explanatory. You go in for 30 or 60 minutes, somebody mm-hmm. pushes you to do something. Mm-hmm. Group classes, you're inspired by the people around you. But online training, what is that? How does that work?
Yeah, like you said, I think it blew up during the pandemic more than anything. And now it's a huge market. Online training, it's a little less expensive probably than personal training. You obviously don't get the in-person accountability, the in-person form coaching, in-person like adjustments on the fly. So you miss out on some of that. But what it does give you is a very structured plan. So say you came to me and you say, I want to work out 3 days a week. My goal is to build muscle, and I have 45 minutes for those three workouts, and say your knee is messed up or something. That's a pretty generic. Right.
I have rough knees just because of my weight, so I don't like to put a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah. So say someone gives that to me, what I will do is I'll formulate, and for me, I do 4-week programs. So you have a 4-week program. Say you do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Your Monday workout for 4 weeks will stay the same. Your Wednesday workout for 4 weeks. You'll run through those 4 weeks. So you have, like we talked about, people really like knowing what they're doing in the gym, not having to think about it.
Yeah.
So that's what the online coaching gives you. I administer all my workouts like through an app, which has videos to show like the form. So it also has that. And then I'll do weekly check-ins. So every Sunday I text my online clients just checking in, like, how's this week of workouts going? What went well? What didn't? What do we need to tweak?
Which that can be huge just because, I know I got Sunday coming. I need to have some answer to this dude.
Exactly. Or you have to face, like, if, say, it's Wednesday night, you really don't want to go. Sunday, you're going to have to face your trainer texting you. And I can see, too. So if you just don't do it, it's not like I'm taking your word for it. I can see when people do their workouts and when they don't.
And what, how?
Through the app. And it's a pretty aggressive way of telling me if you don't do it, just has a big X through it when people
do. Oh, that's nice.
It's like, this is what I'm seeing when you don't do your workout. So okay. I will see, and if someone's, because I've had this, like on Sunday, I see someone say they didn't do any of the three workouts. Like they have to, you know, be honest and be like, yeah, whether it's excuses or whatever it is. And then it's just really something you're able to commit to right now.
Do people own up to it by and large, or do they make excuses, or what's the percentage of the honest people versus the making crap up?
I'd say it's like probably 75% excuses, 25% owning up to it.
See, I would think it would be the other way, because I'm just yeah, you know what? I was feeling lazy today.
You're brutally honest.
Yeah. Okay.
Most people are not. But that's rare. I'd say most people are pretty good, at least my clients, with doing it. Again, yeah. It's something you're paying for. Yeah. It's a little less expensive, but you are paying for it. So there's,
it's a huge piece of it.
It is.
If you're paying for something, you're going to use it.
Yeah.
And you may, like, after 9 months, 2 years, 3 years, you may go, look, I want to change it up and do something different. But I think initially, or for a period of months or years, at least for me, this is how it works for me. I'm so ADD. I get bored easy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to switch it up.
Yeah.
But that constant switching it up and lack of consistency, I think, is what screws me over, where I'll get to a period and I'm like, look, I need to have that consistency.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's time management. And I wonder how many of the excuses are time-based. Is that the biggest time issue, or is it just a lack of will and general laziness that people that are not following through on stuff?
That's a good question, because again, people aren't always honest. Mm-hmm. But I would say time management, people being busy, is probably the number one reason people tell me they weren't able to work out this week.
What's your objection to that? Like, how do you reply back as a coach?
That I'm a coach who really doesn't believe in super long workouts. Like I said, you would do 30-minute workouts. I think if you train hard, 30 minutes, you can get as much. 30 minutes, say, 2 to 3 times a week. 3 would be ideal, better. But that would be my objection. And if they're saying it's like the workouts, then we need to look at the workouts and how long they're taking. But if you, I think committing 90 minutes out of your week, like if you break it down to that and face, that's a lot, sounds a lot better. And but that's the reality of it. 90 minutes a week, 3 30-minute workouts,
yeah,
you'll make a big amount of progress. That would be my comeback, is if you're not able to commit 90 minutes a week to it, then maybe I need to see your schedule, because
right,
what are you doing all the time? Because I know people are busy, and I get lucky because I'm a personal trainer. My life kind of revolves around fitness. I really have no excuse. Other people with 9-to-5s and kids, I understand that definitely can be
hard.
That's
the biggest complication now, is finding the holes in our schedule so I can leave.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest hang up with Orange Theory, is my schedule has to match Reagan's schedule, has to match Orange Theory's schedule. And so I'm on the one a week plan, because once a week is enough to keep my energy. I went Monday, like I'm still feeling good, like at that aggressive hard hit cardio, where your heart rate is elevated for a long period of time, like that gets me by for 3 or 4 days before I'm like, I need that again.
Yeah.
When I go and work out and lift weights in between, it's fine. But so it's hard to do like group classes just because of the time factor.
Yeah.
So that's really why I've looked at personal training with you, and then now this, because I have 30 minutes,
yeah,
3 times a week.
Yeah,
I can get up earlier and go. Like,
exactly,
I have literally 3 full-time jobs. I think if you're listening and you and a newborn, like, I have the time. And so if I have the time, I know you have the time. Exactly. So for you, how many times a week do you work out?
Mine is probably, I'd say, 5 for sure. Probably, I'll say 5 is a pretty average. And that's, I would say, someone coming though from, I saw a clip and I'm not going to be able to remember all of it, but someone who goes from 0 workouts a week to 3, like 30-minute workouts a week, will change their physique, their muscle, and their cardio like 10 times more than someone who does like going from, say, 3 to 6 workouts. So just that little, like, getting started doing anything is going to give you so much like benefit. So yeah, I do 5 times a week. I have a few clients who do that, but I would say that's on the upper echelon, like, of what you need.
Yeah, for me, my goal, we can talk about the goals from here, because I'm generally clueless. I want to live, this is like totally arbitrary and silly. I just thought something. I was like, all right, what would be cool? And I think seeing the 300th anniversary of the country in 2076 would be cool. I think I'll be 93.
Okay.
Like, all right, so what do I need to do to live to be 93?
Yeah.
I think that, to me, is like the main goal. Because if I'm 93, then I'll get to see grandkids. I'll get to see my kids grow up. You don't know what factors. So you could have some hemorrhage or whatever. Like, it's like my doctor said, it's all a crap risk. But I've got my blood sugar and my, let me just say this, okay? High blood pressure, pre-diabetic. I resisted going to the doctor for years. I knew I had issues going on. I knew I felt terrible all the time. I knew it would be, I was just angry, flying off the handle. And I'm talking like 2020, 2019. I knew during the pandemic, especially, things just weren't right. Mm-hmm. And so when the pandemic came about and I had all those health issues, it forced me to go to the doctor. And then I had, some of you listeners may remember, I had like an infection in the back of my head. And I ended up going to the ER.
Wow.
And my blood pressure was like 210 over 160 or some crazy stroke.
Like, yeah.
But I was having all these headaches during that kind of time period. And I just thought it was these new glasses. And Reagan's like, have you actually checked your blood pressure? I'm like, no. Because I was scared of it. Because if I actually go and get these things tested, then I'm going to have all these different problems that I know exist, and I'm going to have to go on medicine, and that'll be weakness, and blah, blah, blah. And let me tell you, guys, going to the doctor at 39, getting all these different tests run, mainly because of fertility issues, because Reagan had 5 miscarriages before Matthew, and so they were looking at everything. So they were looking at me, they were testing all my different blood levels and all these different things, and going on medicine for blood sugar, for blood pressure, the blood pressure medicine especially changed my life. I'm a different person. Having that stuff under control, plus they found a pituitary tumor.
Wow.
So I have a tumor on my pituitary that's small, but it affects prolactin. So if I had let it go long enough, I would start lactating.
Wow.
But it also lowers testosterone. So all those jokes about me having low T were actually true. And so going on medicine for that once a week, you saw the increases in the weights that I was able to lift after I went on that. I didn't tell you, but that's like why I went from 110 on the bench to let's put 245s on
there. Yeah, yeah.
So it made a huge difference. So I'm just saying, if you're afraid of it, if you're where I was, where it's, I don't want to go, I don't want to do this, I feel like so much better all the time. I'm actually able to relax. I don't have that drum beat in my head most of the time. It's made me a better husband, father, employee. Just go to the doctor, get your blood work done, get checked up. I'm going to have blood work done fairly soon just so we have some baselines to work off of.
That's awesome.
I've been fairly out of control for the last 3 months. So I know that I've gained weight. I know my levels are probably not good.
Yeah.
So it's a good place to start because I'll just lose more once we actually get this going, right?
Exactly.
That's the messed up psychology. But that's the PSA is like, go have a good doctor, have a family GP, especially if you've got a family and kids. Like, you should be taking care of yourself. The other factors are I want to go off medicine. I don't want to be taking the blood pressure medicine. My doctor says I'll be on it the rest of my life. I think if I lose 50 pounds, 70 pounds, I don't know that I'll need to be on it if I have a regular exercise routine and a good diet.
Yeah.
That's a huge factor.
Okay.
And just longevity and just better general health and more. My energy levels are pretty good. I'm able to do all the things that I do, but those are my starting points. Those are my long-term goals, but I don't have a goal of here's what I should weigh.
Yeah.
I never have. I always just lost a little bit of weight until I hit 39, and then it was like not losing 10 pounds a year every from those dietary changes. Obviously, my diet has to be messed up. My consistency's off. Where do I start? Diet, exercise, I don't know which way you want to dive into it, but if we were sitting down and I was telling you these goals, where do we go from here?
I think the first thing for anyone, and you do a good job of this, is being like brutally honest with yourself and accepting that. And what you just did, no, a lot of people can't do that or don't want to. So just
really,
It's say people with credit card debt or whatever. Like it's way easier to not think about it right. and just keep living how you live. When you look at it, it is scary. Like you talked about the first time you ever tracked food, it was 5,000 calories. Like that's scary to think about. So I would start honestly, and you look at like people who live the longest in the world, I think diet would probably be the most, I think they go hand in hand, diet and exercise.
Okay.
And I'm a personal trainer saying I think diet would probably be number one,
okay.
barely edging out, like working out. What I would say to most people, and this is something too, we have say a month till we see each other. Starting small, your first month, I think is huge, or just wherever you're starting. There's like very few people, say you want to get into this, you want to live healthier. If you tell yourself, I'm going to work out 5 days a week, I'm going to meal prep all my meals, you might do that for a week, but that's so hard to sustain.
It's how it always works for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to cut out all sugar.
Yeah.
And I went hardcore on sugar.
Yeah.
And I got my A1C down a lot.
Yeah.
And then it just creeps back and you almost become more out of control.
I know.
Because you're just like, your body's craving that. So yeah, I don't know. And so I don't have that like balance.
Yeah. I think what I would recommend to most people, and with my online clients, like if they're looking for nutrition advice, is just starting with, if you've never tracked before, track your food like you did for a week, even 3 days. And I get the biggest pushback I get on that one, because I ask people if they've ever tracked, usually they say they don't like it. It's because it is a little bit like, I don't know if annoying is the right word, but tracking everything you eat, I don't know.
So fat people don't like to be mindful of keeping track of the fat things they put in their mouth?
Chris is way more honest with
it. That's the truth, is you don't want to track it because you don't want to see what you're actually doing. You don't want the self-accountability. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like I tracked for 2 or 3 years. I was really religious about it.
Yeah.
It went in my mouth. I tracked it.
That's awesome.
Like it was just... And then eventually you just go, okay, I know this is this many calories. And you literally... You're so mindful about what you're eating and so mindful about the calories that you become super in tune with what you're eating.
Yeah.
I definitely will start tracking so we can review it the next month.
Cool.
Next month, because I just find that is incredibly important and it is time consuming.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden when you're cooking, think about portions.
Yeah.
And you're making spaghetti. When you're not tracking, you just grab the handful and put it in.
Yeah.
And then you scoop it out and you put it on your plate. When you're tracking, you actually start having to measure things.
Yeah.
And I think that's the annoying part.
Yeah. Yeah. But like you said, it helps you really understand what a portion looks like, what you're putting into your body. I think, like you said, like we've talked about, it makes you be very honest with yourself, which is not always easy to do. I think, though, in terms of like balance, because you see people do these, we'll call them fad diets, whether it's like keto, carnivore, vegan, whatever. I think balance, like you talked about, is key. I think if you're on a diet that makes you stress out about what you're eating to the point where it can get unhealthy. And the whole point of this is to be healthier. So having a balance, and I think tracking your food helps you do that, as opposed to looking at like foods being maybe good or bad for you. It's, this has 250 calories, this has 20 grams of protein and 5 fat. So you look at it a little differently than like good, like unhealthy versus healthy.
You're investigating which is the better option. The other thing that I learned, like I never said this is off limits.
Yeah.
I think it made it tolerable for me all those years of like strict dieting, where if I want to have a Coca-Cola, I can. Mm-hmm. It's just a trade-off. You're just going to have to trade off somewhere else during the day.
Exactly.
You know, you can never, it's like, I'm never going to eat Coke again, drink Coke again, or I'm never going to have pizza again. It's not going to happen. But so it like trains you to be more responsible, because you are going to have pizza. You are going to drink a Coke. You are going to have candy around the holidays. You are going to do these things.
Yeah.
And one thing I learned, I think it was maybe Michael Matthews, I think is his name, he runs Legion Athletics. Legion Athletics.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think his name's Michael Matthews. He's a libertarian too, by the way. He wrote a book under the name Sean Patrick about the Bill of Rights, but it was Muscle for Life is the book. Just 80% of the time, be perfect, right? But forgive yourself on that 20% that you're not going to be.
Yeah.
Whereas right now, I'm doing the right thing 10% of the time and 80-90% out of control. Flip that, and I need to get back to a place where I'm doing the right thing 80% of the time and 20% I messed up.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoying life a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's where I would start with most people. And my guess is like most people would probably lose weight in a week if they simply just tracked their food, just because like we talked about, if you know you have to track, like you say you want a Reese's, but I got to face myself and put that into MyFitnessPal. Sometimes it makes you think twice about what you're eating.
Yeah.
So even not trying to change much, I bet you'll lose weight just because now you're conscious of what your body's taking in. You're conscious if you're eating like 3,000 calories more than your body needs. So that's where I would start with most people. Don't even try to really go crazy dieting. Just start tracking your food. That would be my first step for a month of tracking and not changing anything too crazy with your food choices yet, but just consistently tracking.
Yeah, I know the food choices have to change. Like to me, health food is the wheat bread with nuts in it that has some protein and some processed turkey.
Yeah.
Like I want a quick breakfast.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I've got a few minutes. I'll just do this. So I'll eat that. But that's all processed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know there's a problem there. I just don't know what to switch it to or where to go with that kind of
stuff. That's where, and this all depends too, because food nowadays is pretty expensive. So like I was talking to someone today, they have, if you really have money, which a bunch of people don't, what I would do is do one of these meal prep companies who make it really easy for you.
Herculean, by the way, is amazing.
Done them, but I don't have unlimited money. So I sparingly with them. But if I did, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
They make it so easy. If you don't have that, which I'm guessing most people probably won't do that, I'd say if you like, if say I eat out, I eat a burger out versus I cook a burger at home and it's the same burger. Mm-hmm. My burger at home is probably going to be way better. First of all, it depends what meat you're buying, but just the amount of oil, salt that restaurants cook with is insane. Making your food at home, and I know again, that's a little time consuming, but if you can make, and I know we talked about meal prepping is not the most fun, but if you can make a pound of ground beef, it's really easy, first of all, to make. You just put it on a skillet and cook it and season it with whatever you want. And then you have a pound of ground beef. It can last you, depends on how much you eat. Same thing with chicken, whatever meat you. So a lean protein would be the base of almost every meal. It's more satiating. So if you're trying to lose weight, if you're eating a good amount of protein, you're going to feel more full. Obviously, if I eat 300 calories of lean ground beef versus if I eat 300 calories of cereal, I'm going to feel way more full from the ground beef.
Right.
So trying to eat whole foods, another, like pairing that with a good carb. So some type of potato or rice, something like that. And then I need to take my own advice, but I'm not a good at eating vegetables. I don't love vegetables. If you can eat vegetables, that would be huge. Again, it's going to satiate you for a low amount of calories, and it's going to be a lot of fiber, which helps you feel fuller too.
One thing that always helped me, was it alive in the last 30 days?
Yeah.
And that was my general rule. Yeah. And that always worked pretty well. This processed turkey and this bread... Okay, maybe they were alive 30 days, but they will still be alive in 30 days, right? Versus a vegetable or
it's gonna go bad.
A ground beef or a chicken that you can leave in the fridge for 3 days, right?
Yeah.
It's more perishable. I think there has to be pain somewhere, right?
For like, sure.
And this is the argument that I had with myself and my friend. It's no, that workout wasn't fun.
Yeah.
But that's why you have to do it. It's not supposed to be fun. If it's fun staying at home.
Yeah.
Or it's not fun taking an hour of your Sunday where you want to lay on the couch to do meal prep.
Mm.
There has to be pain.
Yeah.
For there to be some sort of gain.
For like, sure. And there's some good, I've seen some stuff about, there's different types of hard. So like, living, say it's a trade-off like you talked about, you sacrifice and you eat healthy and you work out and do all this stuff, later down the road in your life you're gonna enjoy life, you're gonna feel good, you're gonna have, and we talked about some of the expenses like personal training, a gym membership, food, all this stuff does cost money. You think about though, investing in your own health and yourself down the road will save you money, and you can't really put a price on feeling and good, enjoying life.
Increased productivity at work.
Yeah.
Increased, I don't want to say productivity as a parent or spouse, right? There's that part of it. There's also the savings. I don't get sick as much when I work out. Mm-hmm. I don't have colds. You save money on cold medicine. And then let alone strokes later in life. Yeah. Or like, I'm on a path towards, as somebody who's the breadwinner in my household, who talks for a living, I can't afford a stroke.
Yeah.
But I have to do something now before I get to that point in 5 years, 20 years, 50 years, hopefully never, right? I don't know. So it's strokes, heart attacks, the kidney replacements mm-hmm. for if you're diabetic. Just think of the cost of all that stuff and the time and the diminishing of life that you have starting in your 50s.
Yeah.
I know everybody's living to their 80s now, but what's that the last 30 years look like? Are you like Geraldo? I don't know if you know who Geraldo is, the TV news guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So he, the mustache.
Yeah.
He's 80. Go look up a video of Geraldo in the last, he's climbing mountains and versus like your, some of our 80-year-old grandparents who are just Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. Look at the virility of Donald Trump and that, and I'm just kidding.
We're going to get political here.
There's some stuff going on with each of these two. But yeah, Joe Biden at 81 or whatever, still is president, flying around the world. He's active versus maybe some of our 80-year-old family members who are bedridden or wheelchair-ridden or in rough shape can help prevent dementia.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's all these reasons where I'm constantly like beating myself up going, you have to do this. You mm-hmm. have to get yourself in gear. Mm-hmm. You have to be more accountable. Because your time is running out.
Yeah.
It's when you're 25, you don't think about that stuff. But when you're 40 and you've got a family and you've got to earn money and you do start to think about that stuff. And then there's the added like vanity of it, of going to these networking events recently and being on television and being on a podcast. And I know I'm going to edit this video and see my posture and my belly and just hate the way I look. Like to me, that's always secondary, but I do think there's like a legitimate cost to being fat in your career. That when I go to these networking events, like I went to yesterday morning, and you look around and I'm like looking at everybody's dress because I'm not a good dresser, and I can wear this gym shorts and a t-shirt most days, so I don't really have good clothes. So I need to buy some new clothes. So I'm like looking at what everybody's wearing. All these professionals who run companies. And it's not that my clothes are really that much different from theirs. It's that I am 50 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
And their fit is different than the way it fits me.
Yeah.
And that's why I look like a schlubby mess and they don't. What cost does that have to a career? So I just think about all these different trade-offs that it costs you money because people don't trust you as much if you walk in and you are physically out of control. Like I would put myself borderline physically out of control in terms of my weight, right? I know you can always go, at least I'm not on my 600-pound life. I'm on BET and not TLC.
True.
But
yeah,
you're not where you know you can be.
Yeah.
So diet, so where, like I think I'm on a different path. Like I worked out recently with somebody who's at the beginning and the workout was much different for the two of us. So like I've got years into starting and knowledge and stuff. But if somebody were listening and they're in that same position and they know they need to get started, where do they start? Like other than, and Sean's not getting paid to do this. He's doing this to promote Blockhouse Fitness and his online training and just because we're friends and it mutually helps both of us, content and advertising. So I would say contact Sean. Where are people supposed to start if they just have, they're 40 and they've not worked out since they were in high school football?
Yeah. Again, I'm going to say the time, what I would ask is a general time constraint they want to spend in the gym, but a general recommendation like that I would shoot for that would get you, say this, I'll add it up to 3 hours out of the week, okay? If you can commit 3 hours a week, what I would do is 30-minute cardio sessions.
Meaning what?
So
give me some examples.
I would start, especially just starting. Chris talked about HIIT, which is high intensity interval training. So that's pretty intense. So I would step back. I would do LISS, which is low intensity, steady state cardio. What that would be is say I could have done this whole podcast on a treadmill, like walking. So a moderate activity level where I'm able to hold a conversation, but my heart rate will be elevated a little bit.
Right.
For a beginner, that's where I would start. And I would choose, people will ask like what the best form of cardio is. There really, in my opinion, isn't.
So we both have Apple Watches.
Yes.
Is it getting your heart rate for 30 minutes to 120 to 130? Or is it getting it to 140? What is that? What kind of targets would you generally say?
And this again depends on like your age and everything. I would say it depends. A lot of my answers will be it depends, sure. And then I'll go a little deeper. But I would say like I wouldn't want to get it above, especially if you're doing cardio. When we talk about HIIT, high intensity cardio, it's shorter periods. If I'm saying a 30 minute period, I'd want to be like maybe 120 to 130, not okay. Super elevated. I think when we talk about longevity, you look at some other countries who have really good longevity. And this is another little tip. This is neat. So non-exercise activity, can't remember what the T stands for, but stuff you can do outside of the gym, just trying to be active throughout the day. When you look at other countries with high longevity, usually it's like people who are like shepherds and do manual labor. So right. They're active throughout their lifestyle, not just the gym.
It's like my friend who moved from suburban Florida to downtown DC and she lost 30 pounds in 3 months because she's walking everywhere.
Yeah. So if you can sneak like a little bit of that into your day, that's another little tip. But yeah, so I would start the 3 30-minute low intensity steady state cardio sessions. Heartbeat somewhere 120 to 140. You can look up like suggested heart rate target and it will give you like for male, female, and then your age group. You can go down and it'll tell you where they would want you to target for your heart rate zone. So yeah. Something like that. But yeah, I'd say like 120 to 130, maybe up to 140.
Yeah.
And then so whatever cardio, that could be an elliptical. Chris, I know you like rower.
Yeah.
Something like a rower. A Stairmaster, I would never do myself, but you can if you like them. A bike, any cardio that, and I would pick one that you enjoy.
One thing that, like, Orange, what I've noticed at Orange Theory is set it at 3.5 and then adjust the incline. And so my heart rate completely adjusts based on the incline that I'm walking.
Yeah.
So if it's at 0, my heart rate is at 125.
Yeah.
If I put it at 6, my heart rate is at 140.
Yeah.
If I put it at 10, my heart rate's at 170, right? It's that dialed in if you just keep your speeds that certain way and you're walking on the treadmill, but you adjust the incline for periods of time, then that is one thing that I don't mind doing.
Yeah.
Like I'll bring the iPad and I'll watch some YouTube videos and try to keep my brain engaged while I'm doing a treadmill and I don't mind rower. It's just the same thing.
And you can't watch really on the rower.
You can't. You're staring at TLC that you can't hear or CNN or Big Ten Network or whatever. But yeah, that's one thing for me that hack that I've had the last couple months is like, I need to get in there and turn on the iPad. So I'm like, because to me, time is so precious and I have to be efficient.
Yeah.
So for me, going to the gym and just sitting on a treadmill for 30 minutes feels like death because it's not efficient.
Yeah.
I'm not using that time to work on one of my projects.
Yeah.
Or I'm not available to respond to things. So I think that's the biggest struggle that I have with consistency is just I have to hack it to feel like that time's valuable because I don't feel like that time spent on myself is valuable, right? Yeah. That's just the psychology of it. It's the codependency that I was born with. It's just, it's a self-worth thing, right? Yeah. And I think that's the thing that is at the core of so much resistance for people, whether it's resistance starting a YouTube channel, resistance writing a book, resistance telling your kid you love them, it's a self-worth issue. Mm-hmm. So I think if I can hack it a little bit to make it like, all right, I have this YouTube video or these things that I've got to watch for work or a podcast as research, then I can hack it so it feels efficient.
Yeah.
And then set the treadmill at 3.5, start at 0, put it at 4 for 3 minutes, lower it down, take a break, put it at 10 for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's what has worked for me in keeping my mind engaged to make it feel like it's worth the time. I'm just transitioning the work from home to the gym and then back.
Right? Yeah.
Because cardio is not fun. Cardio is like boring. Yeah. At least with lifting weights, you've got that kind of like mental game of
the adrenaline's going.
Yeah. Can I do one more?
Yeah. Yeah, cardio, and I think that's why some of those classes like Orange Theory, F45 are popular, because it makes cardio a little more enjoyable.
Yeah.
But that's a really good tip. If you have a favorite podcast, if you, especially since we're talking here low intensity cardio,
yeah,
you're able to go at a lower pace, and say you have like work emails you have to knock out.
Right.
Depends on what job you have. Or if you just have some downtime, you can pick a video, watch a 30-minute episode of Netflix. We're lucky to live in where we live now. You can make cardio enjoyable. The treadmills at our gym literally have YouTube and solitaire on them. So I always see people playing games. We're spoiled now. So that helps get that like mindlessness when you're just walking on a treadmill.
Another confession, I have a walking pad in my office that I don't use, yeah. Right? Because my friend Caitlin, what she does, she works from home and she walks on the treadmill on this walking pad. That's $200 that you slide on your, it's like a treadmill without handles.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can just like, she puts it on 2.5 or 3 and gets in an hour of walking a day,
yeah,
while she's doing her work at a stand-up desk.
Yeah, that's almost, like I said, I think, and this is one thing we've touched on, trying to, because we talked about how big of a time, like constraint time can be. So like trying to do these little hacks where you can make it in your day, build it in your day, something like that, something like you working while you do it, like, yeah, that kind of helps your mental side too, that like you said, it's not time wasted, even though it wouldn't be time wasted if you're just doing cardio, but you're really killing two birds with one stone. That's a good idea.
So if you don't know what you're doing, you've got a paper with my workouts that we went through that you can give to me that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But you walk in the gym for the first time and there's, everybody knows bench press.
Yeah.
Squats, I think, are intimidating.
Yeah.
No one wants to do deadlifts, right? There's dumbbells. There's these Nautilus machines. There's racks, mm-hmm, and people standing under them that know what they're doing. It can be very intimidating.
Yeah.
So what advice do you give to a beginner who walks into a gym in that situation and feels overwhelmed?
Yeah.
Other than hiring Sean.
Yeah. Hire a personal trainer.
Right. Yeah.
You're right. So what I would do, again, if we're going with this beginner, you're doing, say you start with, you have the cardio down. The other part of that would be the lifting. So what I would recommend, say you start, I would do, shoot for 3 days a week, and I just do 30 minutes again. Try for 30 minutes. What I would recommend, so when you work out, you can split, you can do what's called splits. So you could do like a chest and triceps day, a back and biceps day. For a beginner, I would not start there. I'd start, and a lot of what we did was full body workout. So I would start with a full body workout and I'll break it down. And this is what I do if I have a demo with someone. So the first time I'm ever like meeting with someone, these are the four movements I'll have them do. It's a good like full body workout. Only four exercises. And what I would do is 2 to 3 sets of each. So when building a routine, let's make it simple. I would say we'll pick 4 exercises. We'll do 3 sets. Okay. And then I'd say anywhere from like 6 to 10 reps each, yeah, set. So I'd start with that as our basic outline. I would start with some type of squat. And when I say squat though, you can do, like you said, a barbell back squat is a complex move,
mm-hmm,
that you might not want to do as a beginner. What I would sub that for is a leg press. So a leg, mm-hmm, press machine. So this is a little tip I'd say for beginners. There is no like, I use machines more now.
Interesting.
Than I have my whole career of lifting. I call it a career, but I use machines a lot. So machines are super nice too for beginners because they're super stable. And the path, say I'm doing like a row, which is taking something from here to here. If I'm on a machine row, that is literally all the machine is going to do. Right. If I have a barbell or a dumbbell, I'm trying to do a row, I can really mess up the form.
Yeah.
So I would honestly tell beginners to probably start with a lot of machine stuff. I think that would be a good tip. And it's a good way to first get into it with not really having to worry too much about form. So what I would do is a leg press, okay, of some sort, or a squat if you're more advanced.
Yeah.
That will get the front part of your legs. And then I do a deadlift would be really nice for the back part of your legs. Again, that can be a little intimidating. So again, there's good machines. So something like a leg curl machine, which takes your legs like from this position and you're curling them backwards.
Right.
So that's going to get the hamstrings, the back part of your legs. And the squat will get your glutes as well. So those two movements of legs is going to hit like your entire legs. So we'll say those two for legs. Then if we go to your upper body, what I would do is, you talked about a bench press. So some type of pressing movement, either a bench press, whether that be barbell, dumbbell, or like a seated machine chest press, or like a shoulder press,
yeah,
something like that. For your upper body, that's going to hit your triceps as well and somewhat your shoulders. So chest, shoulders, and triceps really with one movement. And then for your back, I would do some type of row, so like a seated yeah. row, or some type of pull down. And that's going to hit your back and your biceps. So I think the theme too for some of these exercises I'm choosing for beginners is what's called compound lifts. So compound lifts is something that involves like multiple muscle groups. Especially if you're just going 3 days a week for 30 minutes, it's not a huge amount of time. So you want the most bang for your buck. Compound lifts help you get that by hitting like multiple muscle groups at one time.
Yeah.
So beginners, that's a good one. Choose compound lifts, which are going to hit multiple muscle groups. Some of those I just mentioned. That right there, those four exercises would be a really good full body workout. If you're doing free weight stuff like barbell, squat, deadlift, you're going to work a lot of core. If you're doing more machine-based work, I would probably try to add in a little bit of core. But that's what I would recommend, a full body workout, four exercises, keeping it pretty simple, and just going, I'd say, three sets of each. Yeah.
Any warnings that you'd give to people who are potentially going to get lost in Fitzprogram, right? You can get lost with the butts all day, but or going on YouTube, and I think there it all is really helpful where all those exercises you just explained, you can go find somebody that can give you the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
But you can also get lost in, I think, this like really unhealthy body dysmorphia land where you're learning from people that are 22 that literally spend all day working out,
yeah,
and you're not making that progress, or they have kooky ideas. And when you're traveling online, what kind of stuff would you watch out for?
Yeah,
if you're new,
I think the biggest thing to keep in mind when you do that is that social media is very, you see the highlights of everyone, right? When you see these pictures and videos, these people are like really good lighting. Maybe they've just worked out, so they have a pump, so their muscles look nice and full. So there's some tricks that go into social media. Again, nowadays too, in the fitness scene, there's a lot of people who use enhancements, not natural people. So there, you could take, you if you took,
no, they're all natural.
What's his name? Mike O'Hearn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to keep that in mind. These people, if you took steroids, if someone took steroids, and there is so many side effects like stroke, increased risk of stroke, increased risk of cardiovascular, I'd never tell someone to do it. But
small testicles.
Yeah.
Don't leave that up. Yeah.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah. That's
most
the worst
important.
One.
Yeah.
Kidneys be damned. I don't want big, small balls.
But yeah, with some of that stuff, those people make progress. Just they could literally do anything or nothing, and they'd make more progress than you and I would ever make. Mm-hmm. That's one thing to keep in mind. I'd say if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. The like, maybe one of the most important things to understand is this is a very long journey. I'd say most of that like quick stuff that they're like, you're going to build a big chest in 2 months with this workout routine, you're probably not. It's going to take 5 years to build a good physique. And really, if you're doing this, especially for a lot of the reasons you're doing it, this is a lifelong journey. Like trading, and this is something like in today's society with social media, instant gratification is a very like big thing. So people like to see, oh, in a month I can get like super lean and have six pack. Yeah. You can't. Like it sounds too good to be true because it is. That's one thing I'd keep an eye on. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. The fitness industry now is so big in terms of money. Like people spend so much money on fitness, and sadly, like some people take advantage of that and just are in it to make money.
Yeah.
So they're trying to quickly sell whatever they can. So like I said, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's a good, and on social media, you're seeing people at their best in great lighting, don't compare yourselves to, if you're just starting, don't compare yourself to someone who's been lifting for 5 years, who they're a trainer, that's their entire life. Right. You're your own person on your own journey. So I think that's important to remember. Yeah.
The other thing before I ask for my homework is, don't be intimidated to ask other people in the gym for help. What kind of, I am a very shy person in real life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bother anybody. My MO is that I bother people, so I don't want to bother anybody. But especially at Baxter YMCA, where I worked out initially, and at LA Fitness in Southport, people would come up and go, hey, you're doing your form wrong. Mm-hmm. Like it was like a gym culture. It's not as much as the Y that I'm at now. If I walked up to somebody and said, hey, could you spot me? Or what did you think of this squat? Somebody that looks like they know what they're doing. Are people generally okay with that? Are they okay with being tapped on the shoulder? Or what do you see when you are in the gym all day?
Yeah, I think most people are. And I'd say too, don't, like the people that work there, I'm a personal trainer, but if someone asks me for advice, I will give it to them. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to give them a full workout plan, but if you tell me if your form looks good, we get paid to do this, so it's what we do. And that's, you know, for me, I'd be thinking maybe that's a potential client, so you want to give them a good service. So
sure.
I'd say take advantage, too, of the gym employees that work there. And then I'd say most people, a little gym etiquette, like if they're in the middle of a set or something, don't take right. their earphone out and tell them, can you spot me? So wait till they get a little bit of a break. But yeah, I'd say from what I experience, almost everyone, I don't have many bad experiences in the gym. Most people are super friendly, even though in the gym, everyone in the zone, headphones in.
The bigger the dude too, like Ronnie Coleman behind you, the bigger the dude, the more eager they are to help.
Yeah.
Even though they feel the most intimidated.
Exactly. Yeah. They're the nicest dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't, like you said, don't be afraid to ask. I know it can be intimidating, but from my experience, like I've worked in a gym now over 5 years, and like, almost everyone there is super, super polite. And I'd say like the only time like people either get hurt or like people who work at a gym might get annoyed with someone is if they like don't ask. So then they're doing like you hurt yourself or like you're like, I don't know what this machine is. Like when you don't ask questions, that's when you might get in some trouble. So I'd make sure to utilize that, ask as many questions as you can. And that's how too you get like gym friends who keep you accountable. I think we haven't really touched on this, but a big part, and I see it with the senior community, like with the Ys, the social side of it, of having people who know you go there. If you haven't been there in a week, they're like, where's Chris been? So keeping you accountable. So making friends in the gym can go a long way, more than just the form and that, but the accountability and then like building relationships even too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what's my homework for next month? What do I need to bring to the table here for us to discuss?
Okay, so I'm gonna, on my Fitness Pal, this is a good tip too. You can add friends on there, okay?
Okay.
We can add each other, we'll be friends, okay? And if you are wanting to start or do something, pick someone and just be like, can I do this together? That way you can keep each other accountable.
Yeah, feel free to send me an email at chris@chrisspangle.com and Sean and I can become friends if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. So we'll be friends. What I would do is just try to track your food as consistently as possible through this next 3-4 weeks.
Okay.
What are you currently doing in terms of exercise? You're doing one
Orange Theory a week at least right now.
Okay.
And if time allows, I've been getting in to the gym like once extra, but really the last 2 weeks, for instance, it's just one Orange Theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with shooting for 2 Orange Theory.
Okay.
And then 2 strength training sessions.
So I only have one on my package. Okay. So.
Oh, for Orange Theory?
So Orange Theory, yeah.
Let's do one
I'm on the poor plan. Yeah.
Let's do one Orange Theory. And then could you do 3 30-minute
yes.
strength training sessions?
I'm going to do what you tell me
okay,
to do.
Okay, let's do
it. That's part of this deal is then you have to be mean to me and the audience has to be mean to me if I don't.
Okay, because we'll have clip of you agreeing to.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree to do whatever you tell me to
That's do. That's actually perfect. So because I just talked about 3 30-minute cardio and 3 30-minute strength training.
Yeah.
So you'll get a 60-minute Orange Theory and then you'll have 3 30-minute strength training sessions.
Okay.
And we do those full body sessions. I have some of your work.
So just cardio Orange Theory, and then like I'm sure I can do cardio if I go work out at the gym, like walk on the treadmill or whatever.
That's extra credit.
Okay. All right. But the goal is basically to go and do those three full body workouts for 30 minutes in addition.
And I would add with most of my clients, I do a 5 to 10 minute cardio warm up. Okay. You can throw that in. And that's a little cheat code. That's an easy way. Say you do 5, that's 15 to 30 minutes at the end of the week if you do that before every workout of extra cardio. So just a little cardio warm up before, you can throw that in.
Okay, that it?
Yes. That's so it. The three things, we'll go over them. Tracking food consistently in MyFitnessPal, the one Orange Theory class a week, and the 3 30-minute strength training sessions a week.
Okay, so next week I've got to travel.
Okay.
I'm going to Bowler, Wisconsin to a casino. I'll be gone Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
So I can shift things around, but we'll talk about travel sometimes when I actually travel.
Yeah.
Because we got to leave some things to talk about other months or whatever. Yeah. But if you've got questions for Sean too, please send those in, because we're going to get together once a month, track this stuff. I'm going to ask Sean to bring stuff if he wants to rant about, I don't know, what's your fitness.
I do love talking about it.
Yeah. But if you've got questions, then please, it'll be just for entertainment purposes only. But we will be happy to entertain you with answers to any of your questions. Chris@chrisspangle.com. Send me an email there. Sean, thanks so much. Give a shameless self-promotion for your company if people have listened to this and they go, you know what, I'm ready.
Yeah.
How do they get online training or personal training? How do they contact you?
I am going to make sure I give you the right Instagram account.
Yes, please. And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes too, so people can follow Sean and get involved there.
Our most active social media, I'd say, is Instagram. And that is just blockhousefitness_indie. So blockhousefitness_indie. And then we do have an email for that as well. So our email is just blockhousefitness@gmail.com. But if you message me on our Instagram or email, either one is the easiest way. Instagram, like I said, that's our most active. So there's a good amount of content, like stuff going over form videos, like taking people through my workouts. So you can get a good idea of what I do, what might be good for you. So yeah. A
couple of nice shirtless pics too.
Yeah. There are some of that. And that's what I talk about. Like this, if I took my shirt off right now, like it would wow no one. But when it's on social media, it's going to look good.
Yeah.
So that is a trick. The social media game is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, thanks so much.
Cool. Thank you, man. That was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us here on the Chris Spangle Show. Let us know if you're getting involved. Send me an email and then join that Facebook group or whatever we decide and put in the show notes. We'd love for you to get involved. That's why we're doing it. Partially to shame me, partially to promote him, but mostly we're doing it in public because I want you to get involved too, because I know a lot of you probably have hang-ups or reservations or resistance, and let's do it together. I think that'll be a lot easier if you do it that way with some online friends. So thanks for joining us here on the Chris Spangle Show.